Nación.
Tuning in. Wake up, get crossed out your eyes. We about to go live, so come get the schooling in. About our oppression, we answer the questions like how do we get out this lower state? We let the script prophesy. We bringing the Bible to life so that you relate. The world thinks we're rejects, but that word we reject. Watch and we'll show you precept upon precept. Line upon line, the script say with the greatest, and they can't debate it. Salvation is only for the blacks, Hispanics, and natives.
Power, power, it's the one. Power, power, it's the who. Power, power, yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and natives. Power, power, it's the one. Power, power, it's the who. Power, power, yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and natives. Power, power, it's the one. Power, power, it's the who. Power, power, yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and natives. Power, power, it's the one. Power, power, it's the who. Power, power, yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and natives.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus Edition. I'm Captain Yahshua.
Shalom. Good evening, Captain Aparium.
Soda Tobias.
We are back. We are back. We are back. All praises to the Most High. We had some computer issues. Damn, computer burned out like hour and a half before the show. Just
bruh.
Like random. Just like
went out.
Just that smelt like burnt smell in the computer.
That's wild.
Just went out. So we weren't able to broadcast last week due to that. But we back. We back. All praise to the Most High.
That's
we were able to
right.
get the Saturday show in. So we got things in place for that. So all praises for that. Hey, buy those protection plans. They good. That dude came on by Friday, I think, right? And fixed everything for us. So
yeah, for major stuff, definitely.
Yeah, man. We got a break with that one for sure.
You said they also knocked us out, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we also had some issues where for some reason we had like some random strike on YouTube and they were like the channel was disabled for violating its policies. But we couldn't find anywhere what the policies were. Hey, how come I don't see us on the YouTube? Oh, are we struck on the YouTube? I don't see the live on YouTube.
I see people are a lot. The chat, live chat, is working.
Is that Facebook though, or is that YouTube?
No, we're on YouTube.
All right, I don't see it on my end.
Yeah, I see it on mine,
and we're on Facebook.
Oh, I was trying to get on there. I don't know. Maybe they're moving things around on the internet for me. I don't know. I didn't see it. Anyway, so yeah. So we went in and we were able to. All we did was like click dispute, and then somehow they still didn't tell us what it was. But they said that it was removed. But stuff like that makes me start to wonder, like, what the hell is going on, man? Why the hell
they're testing the waters, man. Either that or I don't know, man.
Yep.
I don't trust them.
Yep, I believe that. Hey, so some housekeeping. If you want to call in, right, we haven't heard from some people in a while, all right? Call in relevant to the topic, all right? We don't want to go left or right with what we're going over. We have a lot of stuff to cover. So, you know, if you got some comments, you got some questions, you got something that you want to add to the show, if you just want to pop in and say hi, all right? 516-531-9797. Now, we don't want everybody watching pop in and say hi. Then we can't do the show. But,
right,
you know,
right.
Occasionally some people come in and they'll just, you know, make some comments, some observations that they're making. But 516-531-9797 is the call-in number. Hey, they were just in Puerto Rico again, all right, last Sabbath weekend, right? So they were hitting the streets out there, all right, working with the brothers out there, continuing to try to build them up. Make sure that you continue to support the Booster Club, all right? Those travels are able to happen because y'all send those donations. They would not happen the way they're able to happen lately without that. So all praises to the Most High in Christ for those of you that are members of the Booster Club. Continue to support that. You see it up on the screen. IUIC.fundraising@IsraelUnite.org, IUIC.fundraising@IsraelUnite.org. Hey, and that supports, like, all the travel. If we're trying to get, like, TV shows or radio stations in other countries and things like that, those funds help support anything, like, dealing with that international type of travel, funding those type of things. It makes a big difference, all right, for us to receive that from y'all.
Yeah, and share those videos that once they're up on YouTube or Facebook, you know.
Hey, that's a good point, because I was saying I still don't see enough penetration there. I got to tell you something. Maybe it's big, and this is what I'm assuming it is. Because we get a pretty good reception from non-Spanish speaking people. I think you guys see a lot of these things in Spanish and you're like, I'm not going to like and subscribe to this because I don't understand it. But you can help us out tremendously with the power of those algorithms, the trending and all that stuff like that. Cap, you know about that stuff. And whether or not you understand the language or not, share those things too.
Yeah, that's irrelevant. Share all. Share the Levi ones. All of them.
All of them. All of them. All of them.
Wow, I ain't waste no time.
They ain't waste no time. We got the call right away. All right. Who's what are we walking into here, producer? You gonna tell us who's on the
phone? Yeah, it's a brother, and brother Ephraim, and he had something to say about he also got strike on YouTube. He's on the air now.
Okay, all right. Hey, shalom, brother Ephraim. Welcome to the show.
Hey, shalom, family. Most High in Christ blessed. Good to see you, Cap. Haven't seen you guys in a minute, so I'm like, oh, no, Esau's at it again. So all praise to the Most High. Yeah, I've got a strike about a month and a half ago after the bishop was bringing out an amazing class. It unstriked my channel, and again, I believe I told you guys last time, some of the stuff that you guys put out, they actually blocked that, you know, on other different side of the countries, because at the end of the day, you're not just bringing out the biblical stuff, you know, like evidence, but then you're also bringing out the history to back up, so I'm pretty sure Esau is getting a little, you know, fired up. So all praise to the Most High, you know, keep bringing it out, you know, these people can't stop us. They're going to strike us, we're going to come back, you know.
Yes, sir. Revelation 12:17, brother Ephraim. Revelation 12:17 in effect.
Man. All right, right. So we appreciate the call in. Thank you. So yeah, you know, I do like context like that because it lets people know, like, because you know, you might have some people that say, nobody's paying attention to y'all like that.
Oh, I would have liked to know what part of where he's calling from.
Oh, he's in L.A. camp, brother Ephraim. Okay. Yeah, brother Ephraim's in L.A. camp. Know him. If you saw his face, you would remember him. Yeah.
And something he said is that they block in certain countries. Sometimes they block us in certain countries just for having, say, a song that supposedly doesn't belong to us, but it's just a song, and they block us in certain countries, so certain countries don't get the word.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we know that. We know that for sure. I mean, you see that a lot with, like North Korea don't get nothing. They don't allow nothing in there. Like, nobody knows what the heck's going on over there. You can't even send mail there.
Yeah,
and
they must get
like
tired
that.
Of looking at Fat Boy, man.
Yeah,
so he just make sure you just watch him.
They throw him on the television. That's it. That's how they're holding over there.
You watch MASH, Fat Boy. The Simpsons, Fat Boy.
Fat Boy, that's it. That's what they throw up on there. But
novelas, Fat Boy.
Hey, and you're going to see more of that as this truth continues to spread. One minor correction I'll say is that he said Esau's at it again. Esau never rests. Esau never rests. They just turn up degrees of the temperature here and there. I said this on Sabbath. We are every nation. And I'm going to take it a step further. I was thinking about today, this kind of the weird stuff that I think about, right? There was a fly in my car, right, as I'm driving here. Like, it got into the car before I left my house. You know, I got like a 30-minute drive. I'm all the way up in the Northwest Valley. So the fly just rode with me the whole way. It wouldn't leave. So finally left when I got close to here. And I was thinking, I said,
bruh,
I'm thinking about the fly. Thinking about how, you know, nasty they are. And then I was like, but they're necessary. And then I said, and you know something? And I'm going to bring it full circle with the Esau thing in a second. I said, everything that God created fulfills its purpose, mm-hmm. right? Everything, right? Flies do what flies do. They're not worried about views. They're not worried about what rank they have. They're not worried about who's watching them. The great white shark don't care if it's being called the apex predator by everybody else. It just does what it does, right? Roaches, fleas, all creation just do what it do. A flower ain't trying to be, he ain't trying to outclass the other flowers, right? But now I'll take it a step further. All the nations that the Most High created, right? Mm-hmm. The heathen nations as well as Israel, right? The heathen do what they supposed to do. Esau is just playing their position.
That's right.
The ones that don't, the ones that get vanity, the ones that get all those emotional type of sins that we go into that are rebellious, that are stiff-necked, it's us. We the only thing in the creation that God created that's not doing what we're supposed to do. Just us. Just us. So this is why we got to keep pushing. This is why we got to keep all that from a fly. In my car.
Well, no, because now you just opened up another thing. that fly is deep. All right. Give me real quick. Give me Genesis 4 and 14, because you said something that Esau's doing what they're supposed to be doing, right?
Yep.
Yeah, they are. And here's the reason why they don't stop. You said they don't stop. That was what you said. They don't stop. Okay. Here's the reason why they don't stop.
The book of Genesis, chapter 4 and verse 14. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond.
You shall be a what?
A fugitive and a vagabond.
Y'all remember the movie The Fugitive? Harrison Ford, he never stopped. He couldn't stop, right? Because that dude, the marshal, was always after him. All right? They know they can't stop. It's in their spirit. They're fugitives and vagabonds. That's the reason why they're always asking 1,000 questions. Oh, well, how was your weekend? Oh, well, what was this? You asking me the same day? My weekend was my weekend. I tell them I don't do nothing. I'm boring.
Right.
I tell them.
They notice
because
the
they know because they try to trap
more than our people do.
Dude,
they notice the shirts.
I'll give you an example
for our people. They notice that
you
shit.
You brought out something heavy years ago. I went to King's Dominion, and I had on my black Christ shirt. And I'm standing in front of Jake, right? When I say Jake, for you brothers, I don't know. I'm talking about Northern and Southern Kingdom. Okay, it just means you came from Jacob. That's a nickname, right? I'm standing in front of all of them at the amusement park with the chest out so they could see the face of Christ. They were oblivious. Esau, man, even when I hit it, they were looking to see what it was that I had on. It's freaking amazing. I did a test. I did a test, and it's so freaking true what you're saying, man. They're freaking oblivious. And I'm like, I would have thought they would have said, yo, what's this white boy doing with a shirt of black Christ? You know what I'm saying? Something like that.
Yep.
And I was in Virginia. Nothing.
Oh, I've seen it. I went one time. I forgot what store I was in, but I had went in to do something. And I do believe a little bit of the colorism, they receive it a little different because they do see us light skinned, right? Like you just said, like, you would think that'd be at least what this white boy doing with the Christ shirt. Right. And I was wearing the one of the Passover shirts for one of the years, the one that has the drawing of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam.
Another good one, yeah.
And, man, this Edomite, I saw it. Like, I felt... my spidey sense tingled, and I felt the hair stand up on the back of my head because I said, oh, a heathen is scoping me out. And he goes, wow, that's a very interesting shirt. Well, I must have worn that shirt in so many settings where our people were. Nobody said a damn thing about it. And he was like, I said, you know what? It is, isn't it? I said, I loved it. I just had to grab it once I saw it. But I don't even pay him the time of day. Man, I was in a store a couple weeks ago. Oh, I love the little things on your shirt. Oh, your daughter has them on her skirt. Oh, your wife has them on hers.
Right.
Like that. You know what it is? That they're trying to gather intel. I just say, oh, thank you. What they really want to know is, what is that and why are you wearing it?
Right.
You know, or some of them know about Israelites and they want to know. They want to say, are you going to say it? Are you an Israelite? And then they get a little confused because they think, like, all Israelites got to be, like, you know, dark, like the tape on my apocrypha here. It's not like that. It's not like that. We the only ones that are asleep. We walk with our noses down, our head down. All of creation plays its position, and we don't.
But check it out. I'm going to elaborate on that because, again, now you got me thinking of stuff. Okay? Everybody does what they're supposed to do because the Most High created it that way from the beginning in Genesis. Okay, let me explain to you what I'm talking about. Bishop Kanah has been bringing this out the last couple of weeks tremendously. Okay, excellent. Nothing, the Most High, the reason why you don't mix things is because the Most High made things a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
He established that from the beginning. Everybody on the earth, everything on the earth is doing what it's supposed to be doing. Why? Because Isaiah 46 and 10 says, declaring the end from the beginning. Mm-hmm. He already established that. Even the Israelites that aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, Cap, they ain't doing what they're supposed to be doing. Go think about that, because that's why he has an elect.
Right. So he has, yeah,
and
the
that's
one third
why he
and
has
the two thirds.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the two thirds are were destined to be the two thirds. I'm going to prove it real quick, and I give it back. Give me Jeremiah 1:5. Prove it, and I'll give it right back to you. Okay, so everybody, in essence, is doing what they're supposed to be doing. The evil Israelites that know they're Israel and continue to do it, and the ones that don't, they're playing their part. Go ahead.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 1 and verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee.
He already knew who was going to do what from the beginning. Remember, we were there with him at the creation. Go ahead.
And
with Christ, go ahead.
And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee.
He already sanctified those who were going to be sanctified from Israel. Go ahead.
And I ordained thee a prophet.
And the ones that were going to be out here in these last days teaching the word, he already ordained that. All right, so there's no mistake with the Most High. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians, he's not the author of confusion. He cannot change. What he established at the beginning has to remain. This is why in Genesis it said that they were fugitives and they were vagabonds, okay? This is who they are. And then in Revelation, it calls them the whore that sits on many waters. It's the same freaking thing, all right? The Most High is not going to change what he created at the beginning. That's it. It's perfect. Everything is perfect. You repented because the Most High God had already had destined you, as we just read in Jeremiah 1 and 5. You fall out this truth, the Most High God returns. I'm telling you, it's deep. It's deep. That's a topic for another class on itself. But understand that there's no mistakes with the Most High God.
Right. No, and you bring out a good point, right? Because somebody might go down that road. So now I got to clarify. Mm-hmm. What we're not doing and what we refuse to do from the beginning is the keeping of his commandments, all right, as Israelites. And I want to prove that to you in the scripture. And that's why I say we're the only ones that God dealt with a certain way and given us directives, and we won't do it. Right, and we've brought out before on the show how in Job, how he programs a lot of things in people's minds when they're asleep. And that's what he did with the other nations, right? But with us, he openly declared what he wanted us to do, right, and what he wanted us to be.
Right.
And by that thing, we did not keep those laws, statutes, and commandments. So let's get Isaiah 30 and 15 first. This is the part where that rebellion is there. And then when we after that, we're going to go to Matthew 23:37. And I'm going to explain the part where we're kind of jacking things up. We're basically delaying it, right? Remember, the hour and the time, he knows because he transcends all that, right? But it goes back to us not doing what we're supposed to be doing. And like I said, I'll just read it and it'll explain itself. Isaiah 30, 15.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 30 and verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved.
Right, in returning and rest. Just like you read in 1 Kings. Bethink yourselves. Return as Israelites. Acknowledge that you're my firstborn. You're my chosen, right? And he says, and in rest you will be saved. Come on.
In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength.
Meaning the commandments. That's what gives us our strength. That's what gives us our confidence. So when he says in quietness, so what he's saying is, Israel, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. If you return to your heritage, just like the rest of the Bible, there's so many different ways that it says, and keeping the commandments, you shall be saved. And what does he say?
And ye would not.
And we would not. We refuse it from him. That's the part where we openly rebel against him. Now, Matthew 23 and 37. Matthew 23 and 37. Let's see how Christ said it.
The book of St. Matthew, chapter 23 and verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings.
Right, so he's saying, listen, y'all are so evil and reprobate, right? He goes, I would have gathered the children together. This is the part with the time that I was mentioning before we read Isaiah. We're delaying what's the inevitable. So we know the beginning was declared from the end, right? But we're delaying the inevitable because he says, I have, how often would I have gathered thy children? There were so many points where if that set number would have got it together, we could have been gone from here. But Christ is saying, I would have gathered you like a hen gathers her chicken, meaning I would have shielded you from this wicked world and all this that's going on here and restore to you what is rightfully yours by your birthright. By your birthright. And what does he say?
And ye would not.
Just like we read in Isaiah, and ye would not. Our rebellion stems from the laws, statutes, and commandments, and not keeping those. All praises. See, I just a little dialogue, takes things. And
started with a fly.
Started with a fly. That's how the spirit rolls. That's how the spirit rolls. It's like, poof, drop it in the room and just let it bounce around a little bit. Hey, I want to jump in because I actually want to finish. I don't think we finished the video from 2 weeks ago, right, with Cuba. So I want to finish that video. And there's two more parts that we just, we got to do them. We got to do them. So we're going to try to, I have some stuff I want to read in Wiki as well in relation to some things that she's going to mention. Do you remember where we left off? No, there was more. We were further along than that, no? Was that where we were? I mean, you remember, you were supposed to do a placeholder where we were on this stuff. Is that where we were? Or can you talk to me and let me know?
I don't know if we were that far, were we?
Yeah, this is where we were.
All right, yes, we saw the guy talking about baseball, so get past him.
Right.
We did see him. He didn't want to leave because of the baseball.
And the clothing.
Right, we saw the clothing, the chick with the clothing boutique.
And the golf, they played golf in Cuba.
All right. Well, go back to the golf, because I don't know if I remember the golf. Oh, no, wait. Well, we wanted to talk, let's recap with the politician piece. That's where we need to go. Right there. So you'll see how, remember, because we had read and we were talking about the different waves of Cuban migrants, right? And you have the ones that came in that first wave when Castro took over, and those were the ones that received a certain way or whatever. And again, obviously, when you look at the overarching scheme of things, we know presidents and rulers are selected, not elected, but they still have to manipulate the system a certain way to make you feel like it's a certain way. And sometimes they'll do that just by manipulating the numbers outright. And other times they'll do that by manipulating a certain voter base to act and behave a certain way, right?
Right.
So, and then, of course, there's provocateurs, there's, what do they call it, Antifa and all these other things that then jump in the mix, too. It's a big hodgepodge of BS is the point. But all these methods work, all right? ESO's not just going to use one thing where they could get caught with their hand in the cookie jar, right? They want to make it look and seem and appear like there's validity to things like elections and things like that. Because if not, that would start to really kind of destroy their power construct, right?
Right.
So they're very crafty in all these methods. It's a multi-pronged approach that they take in dominance, not just let me pull the wool over your eyes. Isn't just put a blindfold on you, because if you have a blindfold on you, then you know somebody's blindfolding you.
Right.
They do it in such a method that sometimes – most people are not even able to realize that they're being manipulated, right?
The witchcraft where they say, look at this, when they're doing something over here.
Right, right. So one of those things is that they...
I think we're frozen on Facebook.
They play the light skin against the dark skin. They'll play certain classes of the same people against each other. And that's what you saw with the Cuban stuff, all right? So let's go here. You're going to see how Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz were enemies of Trump on the campaign trail, but when they saw something happen, right, powers that be, whatever it was, the point is you'll see the manipulation tactics here and how all of a sudden all this stuff changed, right?
Yeah. Hey, Shai, check out the Facebook, man. I think it looks frozen.
Yes, sir.
Someone said they wanted the script in Isaiah, which you gave one in Isaiah 2, don't know, right? You quoted one in Isaiah,
no,
Cap?
No, you did.
That was 30 and 15?
15,
right.
Yeah.
Isaiah 30:15.
I quoted one Isaiah, but we didn't
read it. Okay, all right. I don't know if you guys hear any of that background. I know our mics pick it up. There's like three churches in our plaza that we're here with, and we're just talking before the show. We gotta buy a school next, being here with a bunch of churches.
Isaiah 46:10, in case you're wondering the one that I
want to get them both. Yeah. So, okay, good. All right. So go ahead. Play the video. Did we fix the Facebook? No volume. No volume.
Give us a second cap real quick.
All right. So we're trying to get our volume sorted on these videos. I hope we can get this fixed because the videos is a heavy component of the stuff I want to go over today. Because this same chick that we were watching, there's three parts to this Cuba series. And if you had watched the last two plus episodes that we did, or is this three? I don't know if it's three or four. We've been talking about the Manessa, the tribe of Manessa, and the Cuban and the United States influence over there, just how they play games with all this stuff, right? Like Cat brought out earlier, Revelations 12:17, right? A lot of how they dealt with Cuba is based on that. Right. So this is great because it's actually from someone on the ground in there interviewing people in Cuba, letting you know the cause of these things. Because they'll tell you it's because of communism. It's because of socialism. And it's not because of anything that as far as like they call it, el bloqueo or the blockade, that the United States has put on there.
But what's interesting is they'll talk crap about Cuba, right? And that's why the people are suffering. They're trying to do the same thing here.
Right. Right.
By trying to force us to take certain magic potions.
Right. Hey, you want to know what's funny with that, too? I saw a meme today that they meant it for, like, people who are not pro-choice, saying you can't force them to use the vaccine. But it goes to show the irony of their thing. They tell you that you can't, right? Because what's the line for that? My body, my choice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But now they're trying to line things up, whether it's through governmental sanctions, like you saw in New York, or corporations buying into that as well. Because play ball together, somehow, some way, everybody's going to wind up
getting vaccinated.
Right, because the argument is, right, my body, my choice, right? But in reality, according to the scriptures, that's murder, right?
Right.
So isn't what they're doing?
Right. That's why I tell you there's no morals with
hypocrisy,
them. There's no morals with them. That's the hypocrisy. Because these same people that will stand up and justify abortion, say it's your choice, don't get in my business of what I should and shouldn't do with my body, are now saying you must take a vaccine. Hypocrisy at its finest. Are we good with the sound? Can the audience hear it? I know last time we didn't have sound on our end, but okay, I hear something now.
Okay, you gotta go back though. Go back to the baseball.
Yeah, right to the end of the baseball. His rivals
tonight just hell full of crap.
Can you hear that?
Yeah. Tonight just might be slow though. Last big chance to
stop Donald Trump. It's hard to believe now, but 5 years ago, some Cubans.
Can one of y'all chime in? Do you hear it fine? Is it just us that hears it low? I'm fine if it plays low.
It's a little low, though. But you're too good. A little low.
Still working through it. Okay. I don't have the energy to make a big deal out of it or be upset.
Hey, it's very low, isn't it?
But I would imagine stuff like this should be tested, right? Like the video audio comes through good and stuff like that.
Some are saying it doesn't sound right. Some are saying it's good. Some are saying it's very low.
Can you give me some feedback? Like, do you guys have a fix on it? Or are you just going back and forth? Can you at least let us know? You think you know what's wrong?
Tonight just might be the last big chance to stop Donald Trump. It's hard to believe now, but 5 years ago,
sounds like it's getting
some
loud.
Cubans.
Point where I think it sounds good and you kept raising it. If all you could do is get it up to that point before it gets garbled, then leave it there. And, you know, I'll just ask all of you, at home, just maybe try to raise your volumes up some more or what have you.
For his rivals, tonight just might be the last big chance to stop Donald Trump.
It's hard to believe now, but 5 years ago, some Cubans thought a Trump presidency wouldn't be that bad.
So stop. You know, often I've mentioned this on the show, America's the only country where other countries are concerned about who becomes our president.
Right.
So again, just telling you who really is that whore that sits on many waters, right? That harlot that sits on many waters. Listen, nobody in America cares who's getting elected anywhere else. Sure, do they report on it sometimes? Sure. But nobody cares who's going to be the president of Curacao here in America. But everywhere in the world, every country is wondering who's going to run the United States.
Hey, they never make us care until they try to go into a country and take over that dude.
Right.
And then they make it a big deal.
Yes. And then, right, which is perfect because that's the whole thing with Cuba right now, right? And it's died down a little bit in the news because they're ratcheting up their COVID rhetoric again, all right? But I'm not going to let this Cuba thing go, right? So you have people in Cuba here who are like, hey, we thought maybe a Trump thing would be good. And they're going to show you their rationale, okay, in thinking this. Go ahead.
For his rivals, tonight just might be the last big chance to stop Donald Trump.
It's hard to believe now, but 5 years ago, some Cubans thought a Trump presidency wouldn't be that bad.
Si me tuviera que escoger, yo sería Donald Trump.
Y sabe que Cuba tiene un mercado virgen.
Y él le interesaría mucho invertir en Cuba. O sea, no creo que todo ese proceso que ha ocurrido lo eche para atrás.
That same month, Trump's executives were visiting Cuba and playing golf here. It wasn't the first time Trump tried to do business in Cuba. This is the website for La Oficina Cubana de Propiedad Industrial. It's where foreign companies apply to do business in Cuba. In 2008, Trump registered his brand name for hotels, casinos, beauty contests, television programs, and golf courses.
I'm okay with the Cuban situation, but I want to tell you they should be making a good deal.
So what or who made Trump change his position on Cuba?
Stop. The guys with suits in the room and sunglasses, that's what made him change his position on Cuba.
Yeah, when they went to go play golf.
Right. They went to go play golf and they told him what was what. But, again, that's going behind the curtain, right? And not everybody can go behind the curtain. We still what going behind the curtain doesn't open your eyes to the mechanisms that they use. And I want you to focus on the mechanisms that they use for this stuff, all right? So go ahead.
Guys, we have a con artist as the front runner in the Republican Party.
Thank God he has really large ears, the biggest ears I've ever seen.
And you know what they say about men with small hands?
Rubio, total lightweight.
If he hadn't inherited $200 million, you know where Donald Trump would be right now?
No,
selling watches and Manhattan.
Trump's fight with Rubio didn't last long.
A man that's really become a friend of mine.
I see, after all that stuff, a man that's become a friend of mine. Go ahead.
Marco Rubio. Great guy.
After Trump won, they became allies. Trump let Rubio pick his Latin American team, and Rubio wrote Trump's new Cuba policy.
I have wonderful memories from our visit during the campaign. I was right before the election. I guess it worked, right?
Trump's war in Cuba has won him the support of powerful Cuban-American businessmen and politicians like Marco Rubio.
Stop. So remember, when we read in the book, there's a dynamic there amongst Cubans themselves of the waves that came first and got all this subsidized treatment and stuff like that. They became the upper middle class. So Rubio, Ted Cruz, a lot of them, they're the children of that generation that came. They have a different mindset. Those are the ones that were raised with America's ideals. The ones that came, like you saw in the movie Scarface, right, like from the late 70s, early 80s onward, experienced a different America, and they got that ignored racism, right? And I say it's ignored racism because it's racism, but it's ignored by the media. It's ignored by even Jake itself with some of the tribes. The ignored racism is the racism that happens by and large to so-called Latinos and Native Americans, all right? But it doesn't get the flashy glitz and the movements behind it, all right? Same guys in the room directed them on how to go ahead and write these policies on what they were going to do in Cuba to meet their agenda, all right? And you have to remember, Cuba is salty because they had a guy. They had a guy. They had their guy in. I know a guy. Right? He's a friend of ours. They had a guy in there. Bruh. And Fidel messed up them plans. And what they did was that Revelations 12:17, the mouth of the dragon, and that's one of their most powerful tools, the popular persuasions, okay? We'll bring that scripture out a little later. That thing has been in their toolbox as one of their primary, like their loadout, their primary loadout, right? Okay, I'm going to grab this. I'm going to grab this for this, all right? That popular persuasion, otherwise known as propaganda today, all right, is what they roll out in situations like this. And they've demonized a lot of these people. Remember, let's not forget the School of the Americas and all this stuff. Even though we're talking about Cuba these past few weeks, it doesn't change the theme for the past couple months in what we're dealing with here, all right? Going back to the Monroe Doctrine, which basically says America owns this side of the earth, right? The United States owns this side of the earth, and that it's their responsibility to police it, right? Even though, so that's why you see these international laws, all this other stuff. They have all these things lined up, all right? Go ahead.
They helped him win Florida, the country's biggest swing state, in 2016. And Trump believes this is the way to win again in 2020.
I'm Cuban. I'm supporting Trump.
I am so thrilled to be back here with all of my friends in Little Havana.
When U.S. presidents say they are talking to the Cuban people, they're not talking to us. Because we don't get to vote in Florida.
Pero los cubanos no cogemos lucha con la política de los Estados Unidos. El bloqueo está ahí, punto. Así que pa'lante, que no hay más nada.
All right. So that was the end of that one, all right? So she says, as far as the politics, she says they don't stay involved in it, but whenever there's an election cycle, they have an opinion on it. And when we were there, we would ask our drivers and stuff like that, because we're spending a lot of time with them, the guys that are guides through the island, all right? And they had an opinion on all that stuff, right? They had an opinion on all that stuff. So let's jump right into part two for the sake of time, all right? Because there's some good stuff that keeps coming out in these things. Hopefully this one's not over.
Hi, I'm Liz. Because of COVID, Havana is on lockdown right now. There is no public transportation.
If you want to get somewhere, toca caminar.
O montar bicicleta. But we are used to this. Back in the 90s, we stopped getting oil from the Soviet Union after its collapse.
So stop.
There were...
I remember distinctly speaking to one of our guides, and every time we spoke about different things and we would drive around, you know, and he would tell us the good things that were happening in the country. He says everything that they're dealing with now. And when did we go? What was it? 2017. And he said everything that's happening now started in the 90s when this thing went down. So we're going to watch a little backstory on this, and then we're going to jump to some reading about it as well. So it says it started when the Soviet Union collapsed, because that was their main trading partner because of the blockade, because of the embargoes. So when the Soviet Union collapsed, it changed the dynamic of the relationship that they had. They were basically Cuba's sponsor, and that's how they were able to continue to prosper despite the United States having all these embargoes and blockades on the Cuban people. All right? Go ahead.
Massive fuel shortages, and we had to move around without cars or buses. Last year, we got hit by another energy crisis, but this time, it was different.
And make no mistake, it's a war. It's a war on Cuba. Go ahead.
Vista Hermosa is an organic farm on the outskirts of Havana. No chemicals are used on its animals or crops. And recently, they've even stopped running their tractors, but not by choice.
¿Ustedes reciben combustible del Estado?
Hoy por hoy, digamos que un 5-10% del que recibíamos hace algunos años. Nosotros teníamos dos tractores acá en la finca y están siendo sustituidos por la tracción animal. La tierra que usted pudiera lograr arar en una hora con un tractor necesitaría un día con el interway. Debido a las escaseces, nos vimos prácticamente obligados a convertir la finca en una finca agroecológica. Pero en las grandes siembras, el petróleo es el eje de todo. Esto va a traer consecuencias graves para la producción de alimentos para el pueblo.
Think about that, because especially for us here in America, fuel is everywhere, right? So, I mean, you know, they talk about first world problems because of the price of it. I know we complain about gas going up, but it's readily available to us. And in this day and age and in this world, can you imagine a whole country that doesn't have access to fuel? And it's not because there's not enough fuel. It stems from them not being able to get it because they did not want to let America and its doctrines in there. They were trying to stop. Remember, Fidel knew what the deal was because he was fighting with Che, all right, in South America and Central America, all right, against the United States influences. And he wanted to stop that. You don't think that man counted the cost and really tried to line this stuff up? They'd be all right still if the Soviet Union was still in play. But then that thing collapsed, and it started to create this ripple effect that we're going to continue to see in this video.
Oh. Havana's market still has fruit and vegetables, but a lot of basic foods have become hard to find.
Están entrando menos camiones. Está entrando menos mercancía también. Y la calidad no es la misma, porque mucha mercancía se está echando a perder en los campos. No hay combustible para los camiones.
So stop. So it's not that Cuba doesn't have food, right? A lot of them are farmers and they can do stuff. He says the produce is going bad on the farms because they can't get them from the farms to the stores, into the people's hands. And the reason I'm showing you this is not so we can marvel at a country's challenges and poverty, but what is the cause of that? This is the influence of that man of sin, all right? Come on.
The U.S. embargo or blockade has been around for 60 years. But it got worse last year when the Trump administration began blocking oil from getting to Cuba.
So stop. So they still managed, even though the Soviet Union collapsed after in the 90s, to still make some arrangements where they were letting them get oil. But he's saying that when Trump came in and he even started to block oil shipments to them, again, because he had these guys pushing him and saying, and they knew he was going to do it without any type of rebuttal. So they said, let's take advantage while this guy's sitting here in office and let's try to really get aggressive on what we're trying to do here. Make no mistake about it. The protests you're seeing today in Cuba under this Biden administration started with the effects of even before Trump, but it got ramped up during Trump. He started to make it tougher on Cuba. He started to get more in line with it. And I say him, but we know I'm talking about just it's that elite, whatever, and they use these guys to push this type of stuff, all right? Come on.
Appears to be some kind of gas crisis.
El combustible escasea en Cuba una vez más.
You can see the long lines.
En estos días no nos va a entrar combustible.
The Trump administration is sanctioning the ships who deliver that fuel.
La isla dejó de recibir el petróleo subsidiado de Venezuela.
So stop. Now they mention Venezuela, all right? Venezuela, if you've been hip to the show at least, maybe some of y'all aren't that hip to what's going on in these Northern Kingdom countries, Venezuela is another target of the United States. Why? Because Venezuela also did not want to play ball with what the United States wanted to do. So now Venezuela realized that and they said, hey, I'm going to help them out. We're going to help them out. Come on.
Between the two political allies.
Cuba used to depend on the Soviet Union for oil. Now we depend on Venezuela. 20 years ago, Hugo Chavez was elected president of Venezuela. Cuba and Venezuela became close allies. Venezuela has more oil than any other country in the world.
And more than any other. So hold on. I think they threw up a graphic there quick. $298 billion. They said the next closest was Saudi Arabia. And I think you and me were talking. There's like some sources out there saying Saudi Arabia don't even have that much oil anymore.
They only have enough for 10 years.
Right. They don't even have that much oil anymore is what they're saying. All right. Time will tell. And, you know, the Most High always reveals the man of sin in his time with these things. But they said 298 billion barrels of oil. That's what they estimate their reserves are. Right. And then everybody else, they it's not that large. You would think the Saudis, but it's not as large. So Venezuela is an oil powerhouse. Saudi Arabia is wealthy beyond measure. Their people don't suffer. Their people don't have those type of issues, right? And they're able to make their money because of the oil. Here is Venezuela with all that oil, but the markets are limited for their probably the most important resource in this current epoch of the earth, right? That's the thing that makes the world go round. What they call it, liquid gold, black gold, right? And Venezuela is jacked up too because of that stuff. And it stems from that Monroe Doctrine and this Lucifer who weakened the nations. All right? Go ahead.
Than any other country in the world. But their health care system needed help. So the two governments made a deal. Venezuela sent us oil, and we sent them my mom. I'll never forget the day my mom flew to Venezuela on a medical mission. It was my 10th birthday, and I was so sad. I couldn't understand why she left. I do now. Cuban doctors who go on missions can earn more than 10 times their normal salaries.
So they're able to get 10 times their normal salaries when they go on mission to these other countries to help them. So talk about an alliance between, and listen, I'm not saying none of these people in Cuba and in Venezuela don't know they're Israel, but at the higher up levels, they don't. But they realize, like, even they got enough sense without the Bible to realize that they're under the same afflictions, right, and they got the same enemy, right? It's only here in America where our people are going to be like, nah, you're not the Israelites. You see through Hebrews.
Hey, that's the water we were drinking the whole time. We were
there, that is the water we were drinking. Right. So they made an arrangement because Cuba, until recently, the United States has tried to slander them. We're going to see that in the videos, has some of the best doctors in the world. And they go to school for free. But because of the sanctions, the blockade, they're not able to get paid the way they would, let's say, here in America, right? So they made this, and that wasn't the only thing. It wasn't just doctors for oil. They paid each other for different things and stuff like that. But she's going to explain, and she'll break it down. So you can see how, and part of me prays they keep the fight up, but I also know prophecy is going to, as I say, they're going to lose. America's going to get their hooks in them, too, in all these places. It has to be that way so that, you know, what needs to happen can be fulfilled. But just the way they looked out for each other, these two countries, actually three, they're going to mention a third in Nicaragua, all right? And I don't want to spoil it. You're going to see how the U.S. dealt with that thing.
Interesting. Asher, Zebulon, and Manasseh.
Uh-huh. Yep. Go ahead.
When my mom came back, she remodeled our house and bought a new refrigerator and television.
Incluso pagó por mi fiesta y mis fotos de quince. That's a big deal in Cuba. I used not cheap.
Sí, quinceañera, right?
¿Por qué te fuiste a Venezuela, mom?
Me hice médico, cuyo objetivo fundamental precisamente era brindar ayuda a las personas que lo necesitan. Y era muy difícil decir que no. Y también porque no te lo voy a negar, motivada también por el aspecto económico. Era la primera vez que nos separábamos y realmente fue muy difícil para tu madre, prácticamente con el alma rota, dejando una niña de apenas 10 años, de lo cual me iba a perder muchas cosas de su crecimiento. Pero no solamente fui yo, fuimos tantas las que dimos el paso al frente y realmente no me arrepiento.
¿Te parecía justo la cooperación que tenían Cuba y Venezuela, es decir, el convenio entre los dos países?
Yo pienso que sí, que fue justo. Nosotros le brindábamos salud y ellos estaban muy necesitados de eso. Y también era justo para nosotros porque recibíamos petróleo, también muy necesitado por nuestro país.
Stop. And you're gonna have to go back like five. Okay, yeah, that's where we're going to pick it back up again. You got to think about this. The United States, if you just listen to the news here, would have you believe that Venezuela is being run by tyrants.
Yep.
Then why would they make an arrangement to give away or sell for cheap their most precious resource for doctors to come help their people? If they were so against their people, why didn't they ask Cuba for anything else? They said, send us your doctors to help care for our people.
And if Cuba was against their people, why would they go ahead and do that whole trade?
Right.
It's a win-win for everybody.
It's a win-win for every. Listen.
Because they have oil, the economy gets better, the people live good.
Yep.
They could have did a deal where just the regime gets it.
Yeah.
They didn't do that. They didn't do it for the whole country.
They didn't do that. Exactly. And we read about that, I think, a couple weeks ago when we were last on the air in Acts, right? We read it in Acts 4. I think we read it in Acts 2. The economics of how that works. There's a way to be able to everybody, the win-win. The win-win could happen, right, if everybody's mind is in the right place with it, right? And that the more when it comes with the scriptures, all right? So now you're going to see how the slander starts to come from the United States. Go ahead.
También muy necesitado por nuestro país.
This troika of tyranny, this triangle of terror stretching from Havana to Caracas to Managua.
Stop. So from Havana to Caracas to Managua. He's saying Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua. All right? He called them a troika of tyranny. Are you kidding me? They could barely, they're struggling to feed their people because of sanctions and blockades. They can't even get them proper medical care, so they're trying to work with each other. There's not enough oil to give to everybody. And notice how he said the government does give oil to the farmers. It just had to get cut back because they're supporting the farmers because they know that feeds the people. But you see this guy here. Now the mouth, this is the mouth of the dragon.
Well, this guy right here is John Bolton. For those that don't know, he's a war hawk. All he wants to do is freaking go to war.
Yes.
This guy
yes.
is evil, evil. Mr. Freaking Walrus, they call him.
Yes, he's a war hawk. They're going to talk about that in the video. So he called them a troika of tyranny, helping each other out.
Now, understand, that word troika, that's not an average word.
Mm-hmm.
That's dog whistles for the people that have skin in the game.
That's right. You sure right with that. Those are those dog whistles. We've spoken about that on this show as well. All right? Come on.
President Trump, the United States is taking direct action against all three regimes.
Stop. It's a regime. Remember, we spoke about that. When it's somebody else that they don't like, it's a regime. Why? That's another dog whistle. That's a word with a negative stigma. It's a regime. It's an administration when it's somebody that they like, right? Britain's administration, the Spanish parliament, but it's a regime when they got something against you. Go ahead.
17. Trump named John Bolton as his national security advisor. Bolton is a neoconservative known for pushing for U.S. military intervention around the world.
So you've called for regime change in Iraq, Libya, Iran, and Syria. The decision to overthrow Saddam Hussein was the correct decision. Secure route to preventing Iran from getting nuclear weapons is to change the regime in Tehran.
The way to end the North Korean nuclear threat is to end North Korea.
Under Trump, Bolton began working to overthrow the Venezuelan government.
Stop. We can't let that go by. She said, because the news will tell you they had this falling out, Bolton and him, right? He wrote a book about it and everything else.
Was a big thing, yeah.
It was a big deal. But in the beginning, under Trump, and this is why those guys in the room were there, and this is why they told him, Trump didn't know who the hell to pick for these offices. He didn't even know some of these offices needed to be filled by people. He had people coaching him and telling him. And they said, this guy's going to help further our agenda. They said, under Trump, Bolton began working to overthrow the Venezuelan government. Who the hell are they to try to overthrow a sovereign nation? See, you think that warmongering, that imperialism, right? Deacon Adan was just going over that stuff, that imperialistic nature, that monarchy that they are. They're talking about their republic, their democracy, and that's what they're spreading. Right? Remember, he spoke about the lamb and the two horns. And here you have a perfect example being brought to light of what their intentions were in Venezuela. And it's all connected. I keep saying it. We're going to eventually get around and spend a lot of time on Venezuela and Colombia as well as Panama and Nicaragua. Lord's willing, God bless. All right. But a lot of this starts heavy with Cuba as they moved on to these other places. All right. Go ahead.
Been working to overthrow the Venezuelan government. Until recently, Venezuela exported more oil to the United States than anywhere else. Why topple a government you are dealing with? In 2005...
Stop. You heard that? You got to let those... I know this thing is moving fast. There's a lot of good information coming out. She said until recently, as recently as 2015, 300 million barrels were going to the United States. More than any other place. They had arrangements with Venezuela, even under Hugo Chavez, who they tried to demonize. And then you have Maduro now, right? They said, why would you try to topple a government that's doing business with you? Because they have their motivations there. Like he said, he called it a troika Like you said, that's not a common word, bro. That's a setup word. A troika. Meaning the three of them, right? Go ahead.
Why topple a government you are dealing with? In 2005, Hugo Chavez began providing cheap oil to countries throughout the Caribbean.
Stop real quick. And he did do that because us living in New York, Citgo Gas was a Venezuelan-owned gas company. And I'm going to tell you, Citgo gas stations were only in the ghettos, right? They were in low-income neighborhoods, and the gas was mad cheap. Cap, you remember that?
I do remember that.
We had the school in Brooklyn.
Yes.
I used to love it. That was one thing I loved about
going. We went to the Citgo.
We used to go to Citgo.
And and he had them all in, like he said, and it was all, he specifically set up those gas stations where he knew impoverished Jake was.
Here in America.
I even think he was on record at one time saying that that's why he was doing it. It wasn't by coincidence. He even said, I'm doing it. He said, they need this. Good.
So Venezuela's oil diplomacy. Offer a way for countries to be less dependent on the United States.
Stop. You see that? That's the key takeaway. Venezuela's thing was going to teach other people to be less dependent on the United States.
Hey, doesn't that sound like Gaddafi?
Sure does. It sure does. What's that sound?
Is that a different ringtone now?
Is that a different ringtone? A different caller? What's that beeping? It's nothing? It's not for us? Are you guys mute in the room? Can you freaking talk to me?
No, sir. That's not for us.
Okay, gosh.
Oh.
Well, finally. Well, you know how many times I've called for them to answer me and they just let me talk to myself like a moron?
Because they're all three looking at each other. Should you answer? Should I answer? No, you answer.
Should I answer? No, you answer. You push the button. No, I don't want to push
the
button.
The hell is this? Make a decision, damn it. Be ye man.
Right. So go ahead. Continue.
And it helped Cuba reduce the impact of the blockade. But
stop. So you see? It is what I said. Cuba's like the linchpin in this whole thing. They are burnt. They are burnt that they couldn't do with Cuba what they did with Puerto Rico, what they did with Haiti, what they eventually wound up doing with Colombia and every place else that they went into. Right? There's a reason there's U.S. Virgin Islands, because they went in there and they took those things under their monarchy. Right? I got another book that talks about the borders of the United States, and it shows you how much territory they still own. Called the United States, but they own a whole bunch of territory that you look at the map, you think the United States is that familiar thing with the Florida panhandle, you a little bit of Alaska on the side, Hawaii, but then they own all these other territories still that nobody speaks about. And since they're not states, they can frame mischief by law, like the scripture says, in these places, and the Constitution doesn't apply in those places. Not that the Constitution does much for our people anyway, but go ahead.
South cooperation threatened U.S. hegemony. John Bolton began talking about the Monroe Doctrine, which dates back to 1823.
The Monroe Doctrine is alive.
Stop one second. I want to read the definition of hegemony, because that's not a common word either, right? And I'm just going to read it. You don't got to look it up. Very simply, brothers and sisters, it means leadership or dominance, especially by one country or social group over others. It would threaten their hegemony, their dominance, if they allowed these relationships to prosper in these countries. Go ahead.
The Monroe Doctrine basically says the Western Hemisphere belongs to the United States. It's being used to justify U.S. invasions in Latin America for more than a century.
We seek a peaceful transition of power, but all options are open. Nothing could be better for the future of Venezuela, and nothing could be better for the future of another captive nation, Cuba.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah. Look. I've spoke about this on the Power Hour.
This is that freaking the failed pawn that they try to get set up as president.
Right, when the coup failed.
When the coup failed. Remember when they caught all those guys? They caught these guys. They were American mercenaries.
Hey,
you didn't hear nothing about that no more.
The Most High has confounded them so much. Slash, they're so bold. They try to do a coup in broad daylight on rowboats.
That's their pump, bro. That's their pump. Go ahead.
Failed. So the Trump administration began accusing Cuba of having sent troops to prop up the government of Nicolas Maduro.
The dictator Maduro is a Cuban puppet.
The people of Venezuela are essentially Cuba's hostage.
Cuba is the true imperialist power.
Stop. That's BS. Oh, my God. It says Cuba's the true imperialist power in Venezuela. Let me get Psalms 94 and 20 real quick. I'm going to show you what the scripture says. Here's why you need this Bible, man. You drink the Kool-Aid of America. Oh, my goodness. Hey, listen, and I've gone on record and I've said this, right? I am grateful that I was born in America, right? And I'm an American citizen. I saw the benefits of it when we got detained, right? Arrested in Cuba. I see the benefits of it as I've traveled and see how these other countries are and stuff like that. But there's a reason for that. The Most High has put us where it fits him. Certain spirits where it fits him for his work and his will to be done. Kind of like what we were talking about in the beginning of the show. It's all ordered the way it needs to be ordered, right? So he's now all of a sudden, so now they're an imperialist country. Cuba is an imperialist country? Let's read this, Psalms 94:20.
The book of Psalms, chapter 94 and verse 20.
Freedom!
Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship?
Shall the throne, a monarchy, imperialism, shall the throne of iniquity, the throne of sin, he's talking about the United States, throne of iniquity. It says, should the throne of iniquity have fellowship with you, Israelites? Come on.
With thee, which frameth mischief by a law.
Because this is mischief. And they pass laws and decrees and blockades and sanctions to do their evil, to do their iniquity. They are the kings of iniquity.
Right.
Hey, Psalms 50 says their words are smoother than butter. You're seeing this in action.
Read it. You got to read it. You got to read it. No, let's do it. We still got an hour. We might be able to bang it out.
We have 50?
Yeah, 50 or 55? Which one is it?
I think it's 55 and 20. The book of Psalms, chapter 55 and verse 20. He hath put, 21. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart.
This is all what you're seeing right now. They're smoother than butter. It's imperialistic. They're a regime. They're a dictator. Troika, hegemony, Monroe Doctrine. That's all words smoother than butter because they make people think that they're right. But what was in his heart?
But war was in his heart.
That's what the bottom line is all about. That's what this is all is. He's just said it. Hegemony is we can't let them take over because then we'll lose our dominance. So they're speaking out of both sides of their face.
Yep.
Come on, man.
Hey, Eshaya, we got to put that, because I think that was done on a Saturday. That Monroe Doctrine one needs to go up on YouTube as well, because that all this stuff is coming out dealing with these countries. That's the governing, the law that they framed. That for mischief is the Monroe Doctrine, and we got to give that some daylight on the YouTube page so people can see that, and it'll help them understand all these countries that we're reviewing this type of stuff.
Wait, hold on, real quick. Give me Job 9:20. Did you say Job 9:24 just now?
No.
Oh, give me Job 9:24 because it just said according to the Monroe Doctrine, they own what, the whole Western Hemisphere?
Yes.
Okay, let's see.
The book of Job, chapter 9 and verse 24.
Freedom!
The earth is given into the hand of the wicked.
The earth is given. That's all I want from there. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. They run the earth right now because the Most High has allowed it. Read the second part.
He covereth the faces of the judges thereof.
The Most High had to cover the faces of the true judges because of our iniquity. So he went ahead and said, okay, so I'm going to let the low people, the basis of people, the basis of men, rule the world that I told you I gave you in 2 Ezra 6, that I made the world for your sake. Go ahead.
If not, where and who is he?
That's all I wanted.
Go back to Psalms 50, read verse 20.
The book of Psalms, chapter 55 and verse 20. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant.
50 and 20? Sounds 50 and 20? Although that's good.
That was 55 and 20. Yeah, that was 55.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I said go back. It was 55. No, I wanted 50 and 20. But that's good because, remember, it just said that Venezuela was dealing with them.
Right.
And then now when they saw how it was going to threaten their dominance, they said, oh, no. We got to come in here. And now we have to issue a slander on them. So now Psalms 50 and 20.
The book of Psalms, chapter 50 and verse 20. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son.
That's what they're doing right here.
Exactly. So what they said was they're going to speak, right? Because remember, Esau and Jacob were brothers.
Right.
So he said, thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. That's what we're watching. He says, thou slanderest thine own mother's son. Esau doing what they've always did. They did it when you read in Obadiah. They did it in that day when we were being besieged. All right. And they helped and they contributed with that when you look in the history. All right. And they're doing the same thing now. Again, going back to the beginning of the show, they're doing what they're supposed to do. God put it in their spirit. This is your purpose. They're fulfilling that purpose. They're fulfilling that purpose.
Hey, Deacon Abiel, a long time ago, he posted a license plate where he was driving that he saw. It was two Edomites in the car, and it said Jacob's twin.
Wow, look at that.
They know.
Look at that.
They knew.
Know. They knew. A lot of them know. A lot of them know. Give me Jeremiah 6:28.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, and verse 28. They are all grievous revolters.
Right now, this is dealing with, there's certain amongst us in Israel that fall for this. Right? We have family that fall into this BS. Without any type of research, they just take it at face value because it came from, you know, I pledge allegiance to the republic for which it stands, all that BS, all right? It says, they are grievous revolters. Come on, revolting against the Most High. Remember what I said earlier. Everybody else is playing their position. You have a portion of us, even before repentance, all Israel is revolters until that repentance comes upon them. Come on.
Walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors.
So it's like a virus. It's like a virus. And it starts with Esau, and he infects certain of our people to help carry his message on. And this is why Cuba was, Trump was at those rallies with those Cubans. And every president, you hear it all the time. They jump and they try to get to these ethnic groups. They do it when they were campaigning for the black vote. They did it when they were campaigning for the Cuban vote. In Texas, they campaigned for the Mexican vote. And they grab some of them with that because they have that spirit of revolt, and they pick up that spirit of slander, and they pick up that spirit of corruption, which comes from the wicked. The earth's given into the hand of the wicked, the throne of iniquity. That's what that's going into. Go ahead. Go back like 4 seconds.
In Venezuela.
4 seconds.
Essentially, Cuba's hostage.
Cuba is the true imperialist power in Venezuela.
If this afternoon 20 to 25,000 Cubans left Venezuela, I think Maduro would fall by midnight.
They're real tough, too, right? I mean, they're freaking tough. Man. That dude probably never freaking fought a day in his life, bro.
Right, right. Well, are you kidding me? He's saying that there's 20. You know what he's really saying? If the doctors that Cuba sent there, they would fall. Bo, and make no mistake about it. Hey, that's not in this video or anything, but we know how they work. That means that part of their, remember I said their toolbox? They have different things they have in their toolbox. If they can't get mercenaries to overthrow government, you don't think that they can insert a virus, a contagion in these countries?
Mm-hmm.
They can't insert some sort of sickness in these countries.
They just killed the president of Haiti.
Right. So they realized that was a weak point for Venezuela. That their medical system was not that propped up. They didn't have a lot of doctors, which means they had their eye on targeting people against the leadership. They'll take down the guy for you.
And they understand that. That's why they send insurrectionists into these countries.
Yes.
A house divided can't stand.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And what he's saying when he sends the insurrectionists, what Cap is saying, these are the guys that are able to take these farmers, these whatever, and they turn them into guerrillas. They turn them into, give them some measure of training to help disrupt. Mm-hmm.
They pay them a visit. They give them the talk. It's, look, your family's suffering right now. You could be better if, okay, I'm telling you, and that's all CIA run. They go in there, and that's how they do things. I'm telling you, man, it's been on the news for years, man.
Yep. Go ahead.
Nice.
There are 20,000 Cubans in Venezuela, and most of them are health workers like my mom.
You hear that? Stop. This is what I'm saying.
Notice the number was the same.
He said if you...
How did they know that? How did he know that? How is he so accurate with that number? Wow.
He's wiser than Daniel. He does a diligent search.
Because right now, if they wanted to, they could freaking blow this room up right now.
They could. They could send one of their drones. We'll talk about that on Saturday. You got all these freaking knuckleheads talking about overthrowing the government.
You ain't overthrowing the government. You better.
Bro, Biden had me dying. He said, she goes, your guns ain't going to overthrow government. He goes, you need tanks and planes and nukes for that.
That's why, you and I were talking about, right? That worked during the American Revolution because they didn't have tanks and all that stuff, man.
Right.
Militias ain't going to take nothing now, man. They couldn't even take the damn capital.
Nope.
Right?
He needs some milk.
Right.
Homegirl tried to run through the window. They shot her.
Nope.
And everything was over. They were like,
Hey, it's like that scene.
How long that lasted?
Hey, it's like that scene in Jack Reacher where he comes out the bar and he's like, you know, he's giving them the statistics. And he was like, you know, and this is what's going to happen. And then these two are going to run. Why you say that? We ain't running. He goes, well, once I take down your leader, statistics show that most of you lose the fight and you're going to leave. And that's the same thing that happened in the Capitol. Well, you shoot a couple of them like, oh, snap, this shit just got real. Let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. They ain't trying to roll with none of that stuff. Oh, my goodness. I guess we have a call. What do we got? What do we got?
We got a brother. He wanted to talk about a statistic.
A statistic?
A statistic. He wants to give a statistic.
I'm drinking in that booth.
Statistic. About the American people, and it goes in with the topic.
Okay, what's the brother's name?
I believe it was Michael. Let me put him on.
All right. Hey, shalom, Brother Michael. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. How y'all doing this evening?
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, I want to talk about the fact that the general sentiment you see in America now, especially, where everyone wants to be a victim, and everyone in this country seems desperate to want to seem like they're oppressed. But if you actually look at the average American, in light of the, say, almost 8 billion other people on the planet today, and every human being that came before us in human history, and you compare the standard of living of the American now and what Americans take for granted and what they think they're so-called entitled to. And yet, in light of that, they act as if they got it so bad. But the reality is America is the most spoiled, privileged country. And this generation in particular is the most spoiled and privileged generation ever. Yet, if you were to talk to them, you would think they were living in the Soviet Union.
You're right.
It's embarrassing.
You're right. That's definitely a strong sentiment. Yep. And we thank you for the call, Brother Michael. Hey, let me tell you something. They even want to steal our oppression.
Right.
Like, they can't even let us have that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Can we be poor by ourselves, damn it?
They can't even let us have that as a people. They talk about that they're going to become disenfranchised, that they're going to be jacked up. Hey. And listen, I've said it before. I'll go on record. Even us as Israelites in America, our poverty, our affliction is not nearly as bad as in some of the places we visited.
Right.
And some of the places the senior leadership has visited.
Damn,
and some of the places we've yet to visit.
That one street that we went before we went to go teach, man.
Right.
People were living on the side of the road, literally in the shack.
Right, right. It's that victim mentality.
You walk by this on the street, you're looking at their house.
Right. Hey, someone said being gay is like being black. What? Right. So, therefore, they're saying that.
That's crazy.
They're saying it's the same type of thing. Hey, I always think of that stand-up with Chappelle. She's like, we hurt too. He's like, hey, I'm with you. I get it. She's like, we suffer just like you. He said, now hold on a minute. He said, there ain't no way in hell you suffer just like us. Yo, you got to get out of here with that madness. That's a very salient point when it comes to that stuff. But guess what? That all goes back to the whole... It's the mouth of the dragon that feeds this thing. You know, provocateurs doesn't have to be an individual. It can be a corporation. It can be a news station.
Well, we're seeing that now.
It can be a TV channel. It can be a YouTube or an Instagram. Mm-hmm.
It could be something as simple as I identify as a fire hydrant.
Right, right.
And then somebody else got the devil on there be like, hey.
Right.
Who's thought about that? I might have been a fire hydrant.
Right. Some stupid.
Yeah, and that's how the thing starts.
Yep.
That's a rebellious spirit will be like, you know what? Yeah, you know what? Okay. I want to be a fire hydrant.
Hey, and you want to know how it's not oppression? Real quick, what the alphabet people are dealing with is not oppression by any measure. I'm not even going to get into the sin, the context of it, whatever. We live in a society today where it's okay to acknowledge them, and you have to acknowledge them.
Mm-hmm.
In the confusion that they want to be in. But Lord forbid you acknowledge that we are the Israelites, that we are the children of the book.
Right.
You can't, you that doesn't happen for us. That's how you know we're still oppressed to this day. Hey, and I think I can say it boldly because the consensus will never acknowledge us as Israelites. When they do, that's when we're in rulership. That's when we're in rulership because they're going to have no choice.
Right, when they do, unequivocally.
Yeah, unequivocally. Unequivocally. I'm not talking about a few people on YouTube right. saying, I know I'm Edom, and I know y'all
kissing
Israel.
Kissing somebody's boot.
Right, kissing somebody's boot. No. I'm talking about when the world acknowledges that we are who we are, and by extension, you see, by extension, that acknowledgement means they got to take a seat.
Right.
And you know what? It's never going to happen.
Right. And you know what by extension that means? That they'll be keeping the Lord's statutes in command.
Right.
That's
and
what
that's
we know.
And that ain't going to happen either. And that ain't going to happen either. You're right about that. You're right about that. Anyway, let's jump back into this. Go. So it was doctors. He said if they lost 25,000 Cubans in Venezuela, Venezuela would collapse.
Hey, that's cold talk.
That's cold talk. And what does she say? There's about 20,000 Cubans in Venezuela, hey, and most of them are
this
doctors.
Was put together nice. I like the way they put this documentary.
Bo, and what I like, this chick is there from Cuba. This isn't America's view of what's going on in Cuba. This isn't the CNN or even the Fox News showing you the protests. This is a chick that's from there.
Not only that, her mom saw both sides.
Yes, yes.
She went to Venezuela.
Yes, yes. So go back a few. I want to say that line
Wait,
again.
Hold on a second. She also said she did it first and foremost for the country.
Right.
And then to help them out also.
Yes, yes. She said, yeah, economic motivation was there for me. But she goes, I knew it was going to be good for Cuba, and I knew it was going to be good to help the people of Venezuela. Go ahead.
Hostage. Cuba is the true imperialist power in Venezuela.
If this afternoon 20 to 25,000 Cubans left Venezuela, I think Maduro would fall by midnight.
There are 20,000 Cubans in Venezuela, and most of them are health workers like my mom. The idea that a poor country like Cuba is propping up an oil-rich country like Venezuela is crazy. Pero la verdad, poco importa.
Stop. That's so strong what she said there. And it goes with the brother Michael that called in with that stuff too. She said that idea that this oil-rich country like Venezuela is propping up that a poor country like Cuba is propping up an oil-rich country like Venezuela is crazy.
It's ludicrous.
But the most profound thing she said there, but she said, but the truth hardly matters.
Right.
The truth don't matter. If you say something enough, it becomes what's accepted, right? What do they call that? That's like the Mandela effect, right? Where they say, like, you get a little confused about something, and you'll be like, no, I swore it was this. But what really that is, they try to say it's supernatural, it's a, you know, intervention that makes a group of people misremember something. What that really is, again, going into their toolbox of their crafty counsel, is that mouth of the dragon, if you say it enough, and then you put this bubble around where you're not getting perspectives like this, all right, you're not getting the understanding with the scripture coming out. This is why we're those vanguards. We're that last hope. We're those people that's holding on. Right, like the Most High said, except there be a remnant, we'd all be like Sodom. So we're that remnant that's there to hold that light forth in this dark place. You ever seen that movie? Is it Pitch Black with Vin Diesel?
Mm-hmm.
And they're on this planet.
The first one, the very first
yes,
one?
They're on this planet that has like three suns, and when the light goes out, you have these creatures that come.
Yeah, yeah.
But as long as there's light, that stuff don't come in. Just take that part of it. It's a dope movie, by the way.
Yeah,
but
he was the only one that was able to live because he had the light in his eyes.
Because he had the light in his eyes, right? Just like in the New Testament says, I'll write it in their hearts. Mm-hmm. It'll be in their minds,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
He had the light in his eyes. So he didn't need that
got
to see,
the darkness.
Right? He got through the darkness. He was able to maneuver around those monsters
right.
without the light. But until that happens for most people, you need that light to show them the way and show them the terrors, the treachery of that throne of iniquity that's out there. And she says, when it comes to America, basically, the United States, the truth hardly matters. This is why they tell you it don't matter what color Christ is. Because the truth don't matter to them.
That's a good point, bro.
The truth don't matter to them. But it matters to us. And it's paramount in what we need to bring out and why we need to hold that line. Why we need to hold that line. Go ahead.
By Venezuela is crazy. Pero la verdad, poco importa. Trump used this as an excuse to block oil shipments from Venezuela to Cuba.
Venezuela is
la conciencia profunda del pueblo venezolano, pese a las criminales perseguidas.
Lo único que falta, y no lo van a hacer porque estamos muy cerquita, es tirando una bomba atómica.
Luis Berriz.
So you heard what he said? He said, what they've done to us at this point, the only thing left to do is for them to just drop a bomb on us. Like, he's basically, they can't squeeze us dry anymore.
Right. He said, and he just said, the only reason why they don't, because they're too close to America.
Right.
And it would affect.
They don't want the fallout. You know, he said, they'd have done it by now. He said, but we're too close to America. But as I'm watching him, I'm chuckling, though, because he looks like one of them OG Spanish guys that would be like this guy at the party that we used to.
Yeah.
Saw, you know what I'm talking about?
Pickle with a Guido
right.
in his hand.
Go ahead.
Una bomba atómica.
Luis Berriz found a way to lessen the impact of the U.S. oil blockade.
Todo esto es energía solar. El aire acondicionado, el ventilador, las luces, las computadoras, el televisor.
Luis promotes renewable energy through Cuba Solar. It's an organization he founded during the oil shortages of the 90s.
Wait, stop.
Yeah, go ahead.
Stop. If the government was so against their people, why would they look into renewable energy? Why would they try to stay with the times? You see, you got to look at this stuff.
They're trying to get oil independence, and they're trying to do this. Hey, and if you look at those pipes there, that's to heat the water. That's solar to heat the water. Go ahead.
Estos son paneles fotovoltaicos también hechos en Cuba. Produce lo suficiente para una casa promedio en Cuba. El problema no es disminuir los consumos de electricidad. Yo diría que es al revés, aumentarlo con las fuentes renovables de energía, no con petróleo.
You know why he's saying that? Because he's saying that it takes them off oil. That's the point. He says, if anything, we're not doing this to save energy, right? Because most people think solar, you think here in America, because we want to save energy. We don't want to waste the energy. He says, if anything, we need to do the opposite. We need everybody in Cuba to jump on board with this, because then it will reduce our dependence on foreign oil. Go ahead.
Tenemos que aprender a usar lo que tenemos. Y lo que tenemos es esto. Lo que tenemos es nuestro sol. ¿Cómo me va a bloquear el sol?
Stop. I think it's the one in Deuteronomy 33 I want, where it says the blessings of the sun. Because he just said it. He says, and what we have, he goes, we got to use our own stuff. He says, and what we have is this, right? The blessing. Is it? It's not the one in Genesis 49, is it? Is that the one I'm looking for?
What are you talking about?
For the prophecy of Joseph. Yeah, no. So it's in Deuteronomy 33 and 13. Let's get that.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33 and verse 13.
He says, really? Use what we have. Stop depending on foreign oil. It made me think of this because, listen, Cubans, if you don't know, some of you are watching, you might not know, you know, because we're going into, you know, the history of their afflictions here and stuff and how the United States has dealt with them. They're the tribe of Manasseh, all right, which is actually the oldest son of Joseph. But because the way the Most High had it ordained, Ephraim got the blessing of the firstborn, right? So Ephraim's the youngest son of Joseph. Manasseh's the oldest son of Joseph. But usually when you read the scriptures, they'll mention him either as Joseph or they'll sometimes mention Ephraim. Ephraim in the Bible can mean the whole northern kingdom. It can mean Ephraim alone, and it can mean Ephraim and Manasseh. Depends on the whole context of what you're reading. All right? So go ahead. Let's read this in Deuteronomy 33.
Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 13. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that couches beneath.
Right, so he says, bless. These are all the things that are indicative, all right, of what we saw in Cuba so far, right? You see that in Puerto Rico as well. And guess what? What we've been bringing out shows you this is what they desired during this agricultural term. They never got to do that with Cuba. They wanted their blessings. Just like Esau wanted the blessing given to Jacob, Esau in this day, And his descendants, when they came in to the Caribbean, into what's known as Central and South America, what they wanted to do was take the blessings of Jacob through the 12 tribes, his sons. So what they did was, first he wanted the birthright. He lost the birthright. He got his own alternative blessing to live by the sword. And his whole thing has been to take whatever blessings have been given unto us in this captivity.
Hey, you know what? How they're living the prophecy that Jacob gave them today? The Monroe Doctrine.
Yep.
Genesis 27 is the Monroe Doctrine.
That's the Monroe Doctrine.
That's why they, with boldness, they could say that we that part of the earth is right. ours. So
hey, and I know, I think you posted links. I want you to put the whole show, not just a little snippet that you put about the Monroe Doctrine. That whole show, we all spoke about the Monroe. You were here. We all spoke about that show with the Monroe Doctrine. All right. Mm-hmm. I want that up as its own show. All right. ASAP for people to reference with that. So go ahead. So he says the things of heaven for the dew, for the deep that couch it beneath. Come on.
And for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun.
Right. Brought forth by the sun. What was the big deal in their endeavor to get into all these places? Remember, it said they took the land and they owned most of the agriculture. We've been watching that in the documentary Harvest of Empire. Right, we're going to jump back into that. We're not going to forget about that. There's just so much information when you start getting to Cuba and Venezuela. We got to diverge to bring out more resources, right? They wanted the fruit. They wanted all that. But look, but brought forth by the sun. There's something special about the soil, the way the sun hits these places where the descendants of the 12 tribes are today. Because if not, America would do all that here. But they don't because they can't. Go ahead.
Precious things put forth by the moon.
Come on.
And for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills.
That one reminds me of when we spoke to the, when we went to the little plantation in Puerto Rico, and he said there's something about the mountains here that filters the water. And as that water comes in and irrigates our soil and our rich soil, it makes the crops grow different. And this is why they wanted that land. That's the blessings of the mountain, of the hills that came in there. All right.
It's so precious and fertile, right, that there's one mammal, frogs are mammals, right?
No, reptiles.
Reptiles.
Uh-huh.
That's they can only live in Puerto Rico.
They can only live there.
People have tried to take it to other Caribbean land, and they can't.
No, they can't. It doesn't survive.
Right. That's native to Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The coqui.
And then I think we brought out, like, they've been able to try to get some in Hawaii, which, interestingly enough, you brought out before with the history of Ephraim in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Because of the slavery we served mm-hmm. over there.
The sugar cane.
Right. So go ahead, go back. And he said, stop. You hear that? He said, they can't blockade the sun. He goes, they're smart. They're thinking of ways to try to make. Well, they would have you believe by a few people protesting that what they're really protesting is the overthrow of the government. Listen, if the people get frustrated enough, this is why I say they're breaking their spirit. They're breaking their hope. That's what he was saying in the beginning. All that stuff is for them to drop a nuke on us here in Cuba. Like, what else can they take away from us? Right? Come on.
Luis's use of solar energy is inspiring. Pero la sección no la regla. ¿Sus vecinos también aprovechan la energía renovable así?
Desgraciadamente, no tanto. Esos paneles son de algodón. A mí no me costó nada. ¿Cómo lo puede conseguir otra persona? Primero, no puedes. ¿Dónde yo compro el panel? Si en la tienda no hay nada, no se vende. ¿Y por qué no se vende? Precisamente por el bloqueo.
So they could all get on solar power and minimize their oil dependency. And he says, we can't do it. Because of the blockade.
That just went right over. Let me tell you why. Because America would have people believe that they can't get stuff like that because of their government.
That's exactly right.
He clearly said they can't get stuff like that because of the blockade that America
right.
has on
right.
them. The hypocrisy is real, man.
Right, right. Hey, that's a strong distinction. That like Bishop Yawa said, be saying. I think
they let
over,
him have it.
I think that went over people's head.
Right. If they were so cruel, why they let him have it?
They wanted him to help develop it and everything. But they're limited too in what they could
Dude,
give them.
They get it. You got to detach from the matrix. You mm-hmm. with the matrix in this case is America. You got it. Right. And every time you try to do that, they kill you.
Oh, Johannes is the frog is an amphibian. All right, science guy. You're right though. He is an amphibian. You've been watching.
Interesting.
You've been watching Bill. Was it Bill Nye? I see you've been watching Bill Nye.
I stand corrected, Your
all
Honor.
Right. We all stand corrected. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank
a
you.
Round of applause.
Yeah, round of applause. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. You're right. It is an amphibian, just like salamanders. Oh, see, I know what amphibians are. Go ahead.
Tenemos el conocimiento para poder hacerlo. No están las respuestas. Ahí donde están.
You see, so he says, even when we come up with solutions, the resources aren't there.
Hey, and this man, right, because they make us think, didn't Trump say we were savages and dirty and everything?
Yep.
He created this solar system.
Yep, that whole little thing.
And hold them by himself. On a shoestring.
On a shoestring, yep. Hey, and but again, I can't say it enough. He didn't say that they can't do it because of their government, because of Castro, because of whoever's in power now. He said it's because of the blockade. Who's the one in charge of the blockade? The United States.
And let me tell you something, right? Castro, Fidel said that time and time again every UN visit. He always, and who else did that? Chavez. And who else did that? Ahmadinejad,
yep.
They all point the finger when they're in the UN, here in America, towards America and their imperialist ways.
Hey, and they play the heartstrings with Iran, too. I mean, not that there are people, but it's still in their toolbox to maintain their hegemony, right, their dominance. They say they can't lift the sanctions and stuff on Iran because Iran harbors terrorists that want to harm us. So it's not really the Iranians, but the regime allows terrorists to live and operate there. And come on, man. Get out of here with that stuff.
How are the resources? How understand the
resources in Cuba are scarcer than ever. And not just because of the oil blockade. The private sector was already in bad shape after Trump stopped U.S. tourists coming to Cuba. Sergio became one of Cuba's first bike taxi drivers 25 years ago during the energy crisis caused by the fall of the Soviet Union. As bad as things were then, Sergio says they are worse now.
Casi siempre había clientes. Ahora no. Y puedes salir a los lugares. Te puedes parar aquí, te puedes parar allá. Es por gusto.
Sergio doesn't depend on gasoline or tourism, but his clients do.
Son todos. Cada un vuelco, el ciudadano cubano fue perdiendo su poder adquisitivo.
¿Y quiénes son sus clientes?
Son trabajadores también por cuenta propia, carpinteros, albañiles. No hay economía como para contratar a ese albañil, a ese carpintero. Es decir, si no hay economía para pagar a ellos, yo estoy prácticamente sin trabajo.
Si bien la crisis de combustible genera que ustedes tengan una mayor demanda.
Sí, una mayor demanda. Pero había una crisis general de casi todo. No era solamente la falta de combustible. Era un bloqueo total.
Stop. So, yeah, it's not just oil. You got to emphasize that. It's a blockade on every... None of them are saying it's the damn president that we got. It's the government that we got. A one. Not a one.
Which tells you that the ones that are against the government are, number one, freaking rebellious, as our people are. And number two, it's all part of the craftiness that they've instilled in them. Notice who the majority of the people that are the ones doing it.
Yep.
The ones that are living lovely here.
Yep. They're that Jeremiah 6:28 that we read, that they're revolters. They spread the slander of the United States. Right.
Right.
Go ahead.
Sobre todo, ojalá y esto termine.
In Cuba, we are used to getting by, one way or another. We call it resolver. We take junk and make it useful, and we use what we have to survive and improve our lives.
Using a condom to set up a thing to catch a fish, bro. Go ahead.
We are tough, resilient, and we need to be. The oil blockade was just one part of the economic war against Cuba. There would be more to come.
Right, and we're not going to have time today to go into the third part. That's going to go more heavier into how they tried to slander during COVID the Cuban doctors that were being sent to help certain nations. You're going to see how that went down. I'm going to take the remaining time to read the stuff about the blockade, the special period, and what was known as the Comic-Con, right, which was the Council for Mutual Economic Assistance, and how that dynamic jacked things up for Cuba. All right, I think that's it, right? She's going to go into part three, which we'll probably do one more little thing, or at least part of the show will be to wrap up Cuba. So, United States embargo against Cuba. The United States embargo against Cuba prevents American businesses and businesses with commercial activities in the United States from conducting trade with Cuban interests. It is the most enduring trade embargo in modern history. The U.S. first imposed an embargo on the sale of arms to Cuba on March 14, 1958, during the Fulgencio Batista regime. Again, on October 19, 1960, almost 2 years after the Cuban Revolution had led to the deposition of the Batista regime. Remember, Batista was their guy. We went over that. The U.S. placed an embargo on exports to Cuba except for food and medicine after Cuba nationalized American-owned Cuban oil refineries. So that wasn't the kindness of their heart. That was the Most High, how he manipulates the hardness of our enemies' hearts or not. So they put a blockade, an embargo on all exports to Cuba except for food and medicine, because they could have done that and starve us out, right? And it was revenge because Cuba took the American-owned companies, right, and American-owned oil refineries, okay, because there was oil in Cuba as well, okay? Maybe not as much as the barrels that we spoke about, but they had their own oil as well. And Cuba nationalized them, meaning he took these companies, and instead of giving them to his best friend or his other friend, he said, I'm going to make these government-owned entities, kind of like you have your at one time the phone company was like that. At one time your electricity company was like that, your utilities and things like that. And he nationalized them so that they can be used for the people, all right, not for people to make gain, all right, but so that the people can have all them. When we were there, the guy told us when Castro took over, he gave almost everybody a house, or they were getting houses built for them.
That's wild.
Just gave it to them. And I said, wait, so you're going to pay nothing, taxes on the land? He goes, no. I said, even with everything, he didn't decide to put taxes? He said, no.
Hey, this is why the people that try to revolt against him, he was like, yo, are you serious right now?
Yep.
Okay, so now I got to put my foot on your neck.
Right. And he knew what it was. He knew it was right. Jeremiah 6:20. Those right. grievous revolters. Right. You right. said that word, revolt. And that's what we read in Jeremiah 6. They are all grievous revolters walking with slanders. It says they are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. He said these people are trying to corrupt the good things that we're doing here. The good things that we're doing here. So it says since the year 2000, the Batista regime, the U.S. placed an embargo on exports to Cuba except for food and medicine after Cuba nationalized American-owned Cuban oil refineries without compensation. On February 7th, so he basically did what they've done to us historically, take stuff and not give them compensation. So he didn't pay them for it or nothing. He said, this is ours now. On February 7th, 1962, the embargo was extended to include almost all exports. This is when the old man there was saying, all that's left for them to do is drop a freaking bomb on us. And the only reason they don't is because they're 90 miles away from the southern tip of Florida. Mm-hmm. And you would have nuclear fallout there. He's saying they would have been nuked us if not for that. So he says, since the year 2000, the embargo no longer prohibits the trade of food and humanitarian supplies. So from 1962 until the year 2000, they even restricted food ports going to them. Bro, that's like it's their tactic. Like when they sieged us at Jerusalem so that we had to eat our own babies. So we're going to explain how they were able to deal with that when it comes to the Comic-Con, all right? So it says, as of 2018, the embargo is enforced mainly through the Trading with the Enemy Act of 1917, frame of mischief by a law. So they have this Trading with the Enemy Act, right, called TWEA. It's a United States federal law enacted on October 6, 1917, that gives the President of the United States the power to oversee or restrict any and all trade between the United States and its enemies in times of war. I'm not going to go into too much detail with it, just that little excerpt on it, letting you know that, again, they declare these decrees, they declare these laws, and these laws don't mean anything to these other sovereign nations, but in their mind, it justifies them and it creates a sense of morality behind it. And this is where you'll get those dum-dums that are like, Well, it's our laws. It's our laws of the land. What the hell do your laws of the land have to do with somebody else's land?
Right.
So it says the Foreign Assistance Act of 1961. So they kept instituting these acts, different decrees that they do. The Cuban Assets Control Regulations of 1963, the Cuban Democracy Act of 1992, the Helms-Burton Act of 1996, these are all against Cuba, and the Trade Sanctions Reform and Export Enhancement Act of 2000. The stated purpose of the Cuban Democracy Act of 1992 is to maintain sanctions on Cuba as long as the Cuban government refuses to move toward democratization and greater respect for human rights. You know what that is? Let's get First Maccabees. This is one of my favorites. I bring it out often on the show. Goodness gracious. Human rights. Get out of here. 1 in 41.
Book of First Maccabees, chapter 1 and verse 41.
The Cuban Democracy Act, it reminds me of this. All right? Come on.
Moreover, King Antiochus wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people, and everyone should leave his law.
They don't want Cuba to have their own structure. He just said those sanctions are going to be on there, and they're going to maintain them on Cuba until democratization and greater respect for human rights. Democratization is what we're reading here. If you don't follow America's ways, we're going to continue to restrict what you can receive. Come on.
So all the heathen agreed according to the commandment of the king.
Come on.
Yea, many also of the Israelites consented to his religion.
In the context of what we're dealing with Cuba, those are those grievous revolters, all right, that try to revolt against what Cuba's trying to do. Come on.
And sacrifice unto idols and profane the Sabbath.
Come on.
For the king had sent letters by messengers unto Jerusalem and the cities of Judah that they should follow the strange laws of the
land. Do you see the same pattern? The same shades of what started here with Antiochus, who was also Edom, when evils were multiplied in the earth, and what they're doing here. The letters are these decrees, this Trading with the Enemy Act, the Foreign Assistance Act, the Cuban. They sent these things out. They said, hey, here, we're letting all our allies know this, and we're sending this into Cuba as well for you to understand this, right? And it says, and they should all follow the strange laws of the land. Come on.
And forbid burnt offerings.
Now, in this time, it was really to what? That we forget our heritage and all that, right? Come on.
And sacrifice and drink offerings in the temple.
All right. Jump to verse 50.
Verse 50. And whosoever would not do according to the commandment of the king, he said he should die.
And were they not trying to assassinate Castros for many years, many times? If you take away food and medical supplies like they did from 1962 to 2000, if not for the way the Most High set things up, so that they can get some of this stuff, would that not have made them die because they refused to follow these things like you read in First Maccabees?
Right.
See, the scriptures can't be broken, right? Mentioned that earlier. Puerto Rico had to go through what it went through and be taken over through the Spanish-American War because that allowed us to have citizenship, to go ahead and fulfill the prophecy of Ephraim leading the tribes to the ends of the earth. Wasn't destined for. That's why the blessing had to go to Ephraim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is the infinite wisdom of the Most High God. All right, because it could not have come because the Most High knew this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
What we're seeing in Cuba, they're not free to come and go. I hope y'all understand what I'm saying. And this Bible's a true book.
You're saying declaring the end from the beginning.
That's
exactly what you said.
It had to happen. Everything had to happen the way it happened.
This is why when Joseph told his pops, he said no. He said, it's not so. This is the L. He said, no. I knew what
that
I'm doing.
That is crazy, dude.
He said, I knew what I'm doing. Remember, he couldn't see in his old age and stuff like that.
Right.
He said, no, I know what I'm doing.
Because
it vexed him by self.
Dude, that was 1,000 years before.
No, that was that Job where the Most High had programmed that in Jacob's mind.
That's
and
right.
He said, this is what you're going to do this day. And this is why he just knew.
And y'all think this Bible?
He didn't tell him, listen, God spoke to me and said it. You don't read that it said that there.
Nope.
No. He just said, no. This is the way
it was in his spirit that this is how it got it.
Right. That's that
program. Because let's face it, our custom is that the firstborn, the oldest, gets the blessing. He totally, and that's the only time you hear that, if I'm not mistaken, in the Bible.
Yep. Yep. Mm. Yep. So the Cuban Democracy Act's sole purpose was to maintain those sanctions for as long as the Cuban government refuses to move toward democratization and greater respect for human rights. The Helms-Burton Act further restricted United States citizens from doing commerce in or with Cuba and mandated restrictions on giving public or private assistance to any successor government in Havana, unless and until certain claims against the Cuban government were met. In 1999, President Bill Clinton expanded the trade embargo by also disallowing foreign subsidies of U.S. companies to trade with Cuba. In 2000, Clinton authorized the sale of food and humanitarian products to Cuba. The United Nations General Assembly has passed a resolution every year since 1992 demanding the end of the U.S. economic blockade on Cuba, showing you that the United States is that throne of iniquity, because all these other nations, they said every year, has said, bro, just let up. They're telling, bro, you lost this one. You lost this one.
Right.
You're not, the agriculture thing is over. You right. wanted the agriculture. You wanted the land like you did everywhere else.
Hey, same thing with Iran. America's the only one I want. Everybody stayed into the in the jail, that joint, that freaking thing that Obama did with Iran.
Yes,
who's the only one that stepped out? America.
Yeah, America, exactly.
They told him the same thing. Yo, people are dying. Just right. leave it alone.
Hey, and it goes to show you how they don't have the same sway like America does. It says the whole General Assembly passes every year a resolution demanding.
Every year.
Demanding. And the U.S. just ignores it. But you know, if the U.S., just the U.S. alone would demand something from one of them,
they would do it.
They're going to buckle. They're going to bend on
right.
some things. So going to show you their power there. You can read more on this wiki link yourself. They call it El Bloqueo in Cuba. All right. It goes a little bit more. Hey, always with a grain of salt. That talks about under the different presidencies, Eisenhower, Kennedy, how they were dealt with. So let's talk about the Comecon. This is how they were able to survive, all right? This was a little alliance they had with certain countries, all right? No, I don't want that. I want Comecon. I had sent that to y'all. Is that the only thing you had up? Look at it's Comecon, one word. I had posted all of these from weeks ago. This is why I leave them on the Power Hour page. Just look it up in Wiki instead of trying to go back.
Yeah, everybody's seeing your whole Telegram.
Right, your whole Telegram's up there. Go to the pull up a search bar. C-O-M, not coma, C-O-M-E, one word, C-O-N. And, yes, that's what we meant. Okay. No, Wiki. Thank you. Thank you, producers. I appreciate you. So this is the Council for Mutual Economic Assistance, all right? The English abbreviation is, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but I say Comecon, C-M-E-A, C-M-E-S, or CAME, was an economic organization from 1949 to 1991 under the leadership of the Soviet Union that compromised the countries of the Eastern Bloc along with a number of socialist states elsewhere in the world. The descriptive term was often applied to all multilateral activities involving members of the organization. Now I'm going to drop a supposition on y'all. And I can't prove what I'm going to say. I can deduce that this is probably what Castro was thinking for them. Remember, we saw a little clip where they were asking him, are you socialist? He goes, time will tell if I'm a socialist or not. My estimation is that Fidel was playing chess on par with the level that Esau plays chess.
Without a doubt.
And he saw and knew and counted the cost of what it would take to save his country and his people from the tyranny of the throne of iniquity and said, I am going to align my – they're going to sanction us when I take over. And they're going to squeeze us and they're going to squeeze the people. I'm going to align myself with the – because remember, it said the Comecon was in existence from 1949. Fidel didn't come into power until the 60s. Mm-hmm. This is what I say. He was playing chess ahead of time. He had a plan because he knew the blockade would come and said, I'm going to align myself. I'm just – if it means I got to say I'm socialist so I can bring resources into my people, then I'm going to say I'm socialist. He was not a communist. He was not a socialist. He did what he needed to do to try to save his country. God just didn't have it lined up like that. That's why I say it's a supposition. I can't prove it.
I like it.
That's what I deduce from everything that we've been bringing out and what I learned.
Sounds feasible, plausible.
And right. And it just allowed them to demonize him and say that he was a communist and a socialist.
Because guess what? That ain't no different from what Gaddafi wanted to do.
Right. Right. Right.
They never called him a communist or a socialist.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And if you look at the membership of the countries, you see it was Albania, Bulgaria, Czechoslovakia, Cuba, East Germany. At the time, it was communist Germany under the Soviet Union, Hungary, Mongolia, Poland, Romania, the Soviet Union, and Vietnam.
Gaddafi's son wants to do that now.
Yeah. Yeah. So what it is they were trying to have all things common, like you read in Acts. Mm-hmm. And they won't let them because they're like, no. The earth is given into the hand of us.
Right.
You need to play ball the way we play ball. And if you try to play ball separate, we're going to show you what happened.
Because they understand Genesis 27.
Right.
They understand what their blessing is. And they're like, no, we're going to play our part.
Right.
Everybody has a part in life.
Right. Absolutely. That's my take on how
we're
going. That's
a good take. I think that's a very excellent. I drink to that.
L'chaim.
Mazatov.
So the descriptive term was often applied to all multilateral activities involving members of the organization, rather than being restricted to the direct functions of Comic-Con and its organs. This usage was sometimes extended as well to bilateral relations among members because in the system of communist international economic relations, multilateral accords, typically of a general nature, tended to be implemented through a set of more detailed bilateral agreements, meaning this thing was very structured. That means Castro, like, really did his research on this.
He was not a stupid man. Right. I'm telling you right now, he was.
So Comic-Con was set up initially to prevent countries in the Soviet sphere of influence from moving towards that of the United States. Its whole intention was, we are going to create our own economy to be less reliant on the United States.
Gaddafi.
Right. It was the Eastern Bloc's response to the formation in Western Europe of the Marshall Plan and the OEEC, which later became the OECD. All right. Let me see if there's anything else I want from this. Nope. They go into it's a good read if you want to read into it. It talks about the exchange. They had their own stuff. They had oil transfers. All right. And it talks about its challenges. Okay. But they had an executive committee and everything. It was kind of like, you know how they have the Justice League and then they have like the reverse of it, right? It's like the bad guys,
the bizarre,
right?
The bizarre
so,
group, man.
But remember, everybody's the villain, right? Depending on the side you're on, right? So, like, you know, so United States sort
Legion
of comes
of
as
Doom.
A Justice
Legion
League, right? And so the Comic Con was supposed to be the Legion of Doom. They pretty much did everything that the Justice League did. Right. So there was a Bizarro Batman, there was a Bizarro Superman, Bizarro Wonder Woman, but just think of it from like economics and stuff like that, right?
Juxtaposition,
right? Now, that's all I wanted on the Comic-Con, to let you understand that. Let's go to the special period. All right? Special period.
Oh, man, this dude.
We have it up? You found it? Special period? Special period. It's on Wikipedia. Just Google special period. Just Google it. Come on. We got a few more minutes. I want to finish at least the special period. That way, next week, Lord's Will Life Lasts, we could finish up that video. Now we can move into another. Okay, the special period in time of peace, right? In Cuba was an extended period of economic crisis that began in 1991, primarily due to the dissolution of the Soviet Union, because Fidel had that thing lined up lovely with the Comic-Con after he took over to boot out. We already established and proven, even America admits it, that Batista was their guy, all right? He booted out Batista. Remember, Batista was chilling in Orlando for 8 years. Being indoctrinated, right, as a grievous revolter, like we read in Jeremiah 6:28, and when Fidel took over, he had this lined up. But then America's little covert Cold War got into the hooks of Russia, and the Soviet Union collapsed. And that was the main powerhouse that ran the whole Comic-Con. So it says, it was an extended period of economic crisis that began in 1991. What's the opposite of an economic crisis? Economic prosperity. So from the time Fidel came in until 1991, Cuba was booming. Cuba was living large. They were doing well because they had the support of this all things common economy. And like I said, he didn't really buy into the whole concept. When you look at Fidel's backstory, it don't make sense that one day he woke up and said, I'm a socialist, I'm a communist.
It did it because he could have took the easy way out and done what Bautista did, and they would have lived even lovelier.
If he was that type of man with that type of moral compass, he would have done that.
I can't buy that.
But they demonized him and they demonized. And I'm telling you, it's the same way with any of these guys that don't play ball with America.
Because, again, I keep bringing up Gaddafi. You have to understand what this man wanted to do. He was for his people. That's why it makes no sense. You looked at what happened at Gaddafi. That's what they're trying to do over here in Cuba.
Yep.
His own people went ahead on the streets.
Yep.
He was changing their lives
economically.
They were going to separate. They were going to unite with the other African countries and be separate from America.
Yeah, that's a heavy. He was trying to do the same thing, but in there in Africa.
And you see how that ended
up.
But guess what? The Most High's hand is in it. That's why it never happened. Because, again, that will go against prophecy. Cuba had to be the way it is.
Right. All this had to go down the way it did. So it says in 1991, they went into economic crisis primarily due to the dissolution of the Soviet Union and by extension, the Comecon. The economic depression of the special period was at its most severe in the early to mid-1990s, before slightly declining in severity towards the end of the decade, once Hugo Chavez's Venezuela emerged as Cuba's primary trading partner and diplomatic ally.
They said, oh, shit.
And especially after the year 2000, once Cuba-Russia relations improved under the presidency of Vladimir Putin. So now you saw how they spoke about Venezuela. Cuba went through like a 10-year, 9-year period where they struggled, where they went to horse and carriage, where they went to all this different stuff because they tightened up those blockades again. They saw an opportunity. That's why that Cuban Act, I believe it said it was instituted in 1992, because they said, now's the time. Now's the time, United States. They lost their benefactor in Russia. Tighten them sanctions even more now. And then they're tight with Venezuela now. We just saw all the rhetoric that was being said
in the
documentary.
They're tight with Venezuela. They're still tight with Russia. They're tight with China.
Nicaragua.
And they're tight with Iran.
Yep, and Iran. So it says it was defined primarily by extreme reductions of rationed foods at state-subsidized prices, the severe shortages of hydrocarbon energy resources in the form of gasoline, diesel, and other petroleum derivatives that occurred upon the implosion of economic agreements between the petroleum-rich Soviet Union and Cuba, and the shrinking of an economy overdependent on Soviet imports. The period radically transformed Cuban society and the economy as it necessitated the introduction of organic agriculture, decreased use of automobiles, and overhauled industry, health, and diet countrywide. People were forced to live without many goods and services that had been available since the beginning of the 20th century. All these links, brothers and sisters, are very interesting. I don't want to sit here and just read and read and read, so I give you kind of the intro to it, and I implore you to do your own research on it. I got one scripture I want to bring out, and then Cap or you could bring something out. I this thing stays in my head, and I want to give this as a point. All right, as I read all this, I know we often speak about this scripture in Isaiah 14 and 12 about weakening the nations, and primarily, yes, according to Revelations, it starts with that lamb with the two horns. It starts with their politics and their religions. But how do they still maintain weak nation when those nations refuse to accept their politics and religion?
Right.
Again, they have tricks in the trick bag. They have more tools. They have more devices in their hold, all right, in their war chest. And one of the ways that they weaken nations, literally, is this economic sanctions, this stuff, this case study in how ISO operates with Cuba, right? And it's not the first time they've done these things. It's just with Cuba, it's so magnified because Cuba's been able to hold out. And that burns the hell out of them. That's like the championship fighter that knocks people out in three rounds, and the guy's going the distance with him, and he just gets frustrated.
Hey, they just try to overthrow Maduro, and it failed.
And it failed.
They're mad.
They're starting to see. Because that makes them worry. That makes the powers that be worry. that wait a second, what do you mean this stuff's not working? This is ours. The Monroe Doctrine is alive and well, he said. This is ours. Let's read this, Isaiah 14 and 12.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 14 and verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?
Lucifer means day star, right? Or something bright. Lucifer is not the red devil. He was not the Christian fallen angel that was an angel of God that decided to go against them and rebel against them. Remember, we spoke about the order of things. Angels do what they're supposed to do. Israelites aren't doing really what we're supposed to do as far as those of us that are supposed to keep those commandments, right? Remember, Christ said, I would have gathered you often, but y'all still ain't getting it yet, right? In one of these generations, y'all going to get it right, right? But you haven't done it yet, right? So it's still the plan's still going to go according to plan. Just the timing of it is fluid because we keep rebelling, right? No angel's not going to do what the Most High programmed him to do. All of the creation does what it's supposed to do. We're the only ones that have the audacity to think that we can go against what God wants us to do.
Right, right. Everything has oracles, right?
Right.
The ocean, why don't the ocean consume? The earth is what, 70% water?
Right.
Why don't it consume the land? Because the water has oracles.
Ordinances.
It has
ordinances. Right, right. Ordinances. There's ordinances there. The Bible talks about that. It mentions what you just said. There's a scripture that talks about that. The water doesn't overtake the land because it obeys what it was created for. It creeps up when the tide, you see if the tide comes in or a wave comes in,
yeah.
And then it goes back because it knows its place.
Or isn't the oceans, they're split. There's like one that is all salt. And
right. Yeah. There's a point, there's one where there's a dividing line where literally there's an invisible line that it goes from salinated, meaning salted, to non-saline on the other side.
Only a higher power could do that. Man.
Right. Only a higher power can do those types of things, right? So it says Lucifer. Why? He's the day star. Because we just said how the United Nations is telling them every year to end this thing. Everybody looks to America. They've set themselves up that if you don't play ball with them, you will be weakened. So read it from the top again.
How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?
Come on, because the earth is given into the hands of the wicked for now. Come on.
How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation?
Right, because it's only for a dispensation of time that they're there. He says, which didst weaken the nations. Is there any other nation on earth that has the power, like we just read, of what's happened to Cuba and all these other countries, to weaken those nations? There is none. It's not Russia that's weakening no damn nations. It's not Britain. It's not Ishmael. It's not so-called Middle East. It's not China that's weakening any nations. Well, you got to listen to these UN speeches when these guys go back and look at some of these with Ahmadinejad, go with Hugo Chavez, with Maduro speaking at the UN. Go back and listen to Castro in those days in the UN. Now knowing this truth and not having that American doctrine in your head, and to the republic for which it stands, getting that out your head. And I guarantee you, you're going to start to see the daylight come in on all this stuff. It's that man of sin being revealed is actually really not that complicated when you can connect the dots and all this stuff.
When you have perspective.
Yeah, you need perspective. You need perspective.
It's 9 p.m.
Do you know where your children are? Remember that? It had that thing. It's 10 p.m. Bruh. Do you know where your children are? Cap, you got anything, sir?
Well, great show, man.
Oh, praise.
I mean,
praise
the information. Listen, man, this Bible is a true book from Genesis to Revelation, man. All right. Everything that has gone on in the world from then and to the present and in the future is in this Bible, man. You know,
right.
Tune in to the Power Hour this Saturday, because the beautiful thing about the Power Hour, I've been linking to what we're speaking about on Wednesday. So you'll get a short, bam, straight to the point hour breakdown of scriptures related to what you come out with the Power Hour Plus. So tune in, 11 a.m. Arizona time.
Right. You know how they have, like, Talking Dead after you see the main show, right? You know, like the after show of like a hit show. That's what the Power on Saturday has been rolling.
Yeah,
like,
you ain't going
to
want to miss the Saturday because I'm going to go with some crazy stuff.
They get it in for an hour after going into all that stuff.
And it's quick. It's quick. So you got to be quick.
Yeah, quick hit.
Finish him.
Anything, Soldier? You good?
No, I'm good.
Okay, all right. Hey, all praise. Brothers and sisters, like we mentioned earlier, even not just this show, even the Spanish content. If you don't understand it, I implore you to like. I implore you to subscribe. You don't got to sit there and watch the Spanish videos. It's fine. I understand that. Share them anyway. All right? Share them anyway. Remember what we read in Matthew, all right? oftentimes Christ would come and gather us, right? But we would not. You got to spread this word out there so the rest of the tribes can wake up, because we're not getting that salvation until all Israel, that set number, those 12,000 from each tribe and that mixed multitude that's ordained, comes to repentance and this understanding. All
right. Right. And that's those Spanish radio shows. They bring out fire, man. They bring out some great, great information.
That's right.
Spread it out there. You never know who it's going to who's going to listen to it, man.
All praise to the Most High. All right. With that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Show.
All praises, man.
All praises to the Most High. Spirit was rolling, bouncing off each other with stuff. Good stuff.
Yo, B, Castro's the man, bro. That's the dude right there. He that dude was intelligent. Yo, I know more about him because I was stationed in Guantanamo Bay. And they, again, being a Marine, they try to make him seem like he's a damn demon and all this
shit.
That's
why they try to kill him so much, bro. They kept trying, bro.
And he is stupid. Yo, he had mad doubles.
That dude was a problem. That dude was a problem.
I never looked into it. Yeah. I don't know.